beginning of 10-1, right? And the beginning of the visit was Bob Marilana, the surprise visit this Tuesday night, the 17th of August, 1971. 10-1, right? And the beginning of the visit with Bob Marilana this Tuesday night, the 17th of August, 1971. First visit in a month or so, all summer. Channel 1, right? Beginning of the visit with Bob Marilana this Tuesday night, the 17th of August, 1971. Channel 1, right? And beginning of the visit with Bob Marilana, the surprise visit, the first visit in all summer. Tuesday night, the 17th of August, 1971.
Turn Jerry Langford down, that he's not suitable for head department. And so on that basis, then Jim decided that Jim Hodges would continue another year as chairman, although he didn't want it. He wanted to get out of it.
Oh, I'm surprised that he would.
We can see. I am too.
He made a great sacrifice.
Oh. He's taking a beating. With all those.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't have his job for anything.
No, no.
And he decided he would go on for another year. Well, you see, I think it's a little complicated. The way I look at it now, I haven't talked with others about it, but because you couldn't get a word out of anybody anyway.
Oh, really?
No.
they're not talking?
That's right. But Bowers and Bradshaw took it in the neck, I think, and I that's just personal opinion, when they resigned from the chairman. Bowers was chairman of the committee, and they said, no, you got to do this, you got to do that in selecting another chairman. Well, they recommended, of course, Jerry Langford. And they didn't want Jerry Langford, and so they said, well, they didn't say that then, but they said, well, you got to submit this to the Department of English, because they considered you when they selected a head. And so I met the new head, by the way, the new dean of the liberal arts. Spive introduced me to him one day. And anyway, I got a little more news for you about it. But anyway, I think that they would have considered several people there very favorably, but not, well, she has a degree in music. What's a degree in music?
I can't even run a department
with
a degree in music?
Yeah, you can't do that, even from Columbia. Oh, why not?
Yeah.
So,
Well, at least they haven't gone that far, have they?
And they wanted somebody with a degree in English, naturally. I don't blame them. I told Phil, go ahead.
I guess it ought to be in English. English are the only ones that put up a lot.
Are you up in town?
Well, Guy, I talked with Bradshaw first. I said, Jerry Lang, he's a nice fellow, but I said he wouldn't make a good department head or chairman for him. I said it would kill him.
You see,
yeah,
hard
yeah.
never cracks his teeth about anything, you know. He just goes around.
He's a nice fellow.
I like Jerry,
he's,
and I like
he's just
his
as
wife,
pleasant
but,
as he can be. And congenial and kind and considerate.
Yeah.
He's too nice a fellow to be chairman.
Well, you know, I was going to tell, you know, they made Hellstrom a kind of liaison with the junior colleges. Mm-hmm. Well, Hellstrom is one of the most perceptive fellows over there. And,
yeah, that's right. I agree there.
And what they need for that is somebody who's leathery. It
yeah.
has no feelings, you see.
Something else now will interest you. Phil Bradshaw showed me a note the other day that he got from the higher ups. He was chairman of the committee to select a dean for University College. And he invited two people down, and they had big receptions for them over there. And did you go to one of them with me?
No.
No, I went to one of them anyway. And for everybody to meet, you know. And they were knowledgeable people and good people. But evidently they, for some reason, they now the word is going out, this and that George Bentley should be considered. Well, Phil's going to vote against him. You know, George Bentley isn't, I agree with Phil that George Bentley just isn't material for a dean. He's assistant dean, but I don't believe he's, my own feeling is that he isn't, that he doesn't have what it takes to be a dean of that college. That's there's too many frictions and things, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't
put up with too much.
Yeah, but I imagine if they want, you see, how's it go? What they want in the Pentagon, they get.
Yeah.
And so,
they want him, they'll get him.
That's right. You can't buck the what's the word? The
Pentagon.
I was trying to think of the way we put it, though. The those in officially charge, you know, those in the high ups, you can't buck them.
Yeah.
But there's another phrase I was looking for.
No, they have a way of just keeping the thing open.
Mm-hmm. And holding on, just as they've done Wahlberg. The students wanted to keep Wahlberg as it was, you know. And others didn't. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to increase the South End, so they closed up and let the damn thing rot.
Pull down the bathhouse,
bath house,
pull up everything
up there.
Yeah,
and then Scott has gone out.
He was the man
staying up there as supervisor, you know, of the plants and grounds.
He's in the house, and he's moved.
He's gone.
He's just closed.
That's what.
Take a few $1,000 to you
well,
know, fix up
the
bathhouse.
Well, the administration wanted the South End where they ski, and they have lots of land there for development.
Yes.
They have just a small bit at the North End where they had the other place. And so they wanted to develop, spend quite a bit of money, $200,000 or something like that, on the South End where they go in to ski, rather than the old place where we're going to swim and boat and fish. But they're going to run into another problem there, as I see it. See, the state now has bought all of the property.
Camp Ranch property. And that's all
ranch.
The other side of the lake.
All of the prairie.
Yeah.
On the right-hand side. All the prairies. The state has bought that for recreation.
On the right-hand side going in?
Oh,
yeah.
I think they bought the whole prairie, haven't they?
I didn't think they had
some of it's still private owned on far end. Don't you know where Henry Chitty is?
Yeah, he's got his place. And over there where they built the country club and all those houses, part of that, I think, is.
But they bought,
I think the prairie itself, I think they bought the whole thing.
They paid $5 million for the property. And it goes out so on the other side of Norbert.
Yeah, yeah. And they're going
across
to, in a few years,
right.
They're going to put
yeah.
a park.
It goes all the way around
and
includes that.
So you can go and rent
me.
A cabin,
now,
a camp
if they open up a ramp
the
there,
road.
Which they'll have to do for the
which
public good,
mess.
You know, and a road, and open all that up, then the skiing will be,
there'll be too
terrible
many
to try to fish on that lake now with the skiers. They just give
say
you a
we
fit.
Have really had a week of it. I thought I looked sort of looked
but
for you,
you
to come by.
To
you haven't been to town enough.
I just hadn't been to town enough to do anything.
Well, Becky and Gerald and the baby were there
don't
for
tell
a week.
Me.
Yes. And last Saturday, yeah, they left this morning. They
why
started
didn't you call
to leave.
Me?
They started to leave yesterday morning. Say, I haven't had
we've
since
been
one.
Crazy.
I've just
yeah.
been nuts.
We've had four dogs there.
And
fighting
Henry
dogs.
Went off and left two dogs. Left two
and
little
two
dogs.
Cars.
I didn't see that.
And,
well,
it's just been so. Mother Lee's birthday was Saturday. She was 91. And we had 15 darn people there and two parents.
Our
four
daughters.
And
darn people and three husbands.
And children. Bob and his wife and two children came up from Tampa, and it was the biggest mess that you have ever seen in your life.
Well,
and
it
I
wasn't
think,
really. It,
well,
it
was
all
as far as I'm concerned, it was a mess because
well,
I had it all on the top of my little head, and I've just been nuts.
The response
and you had it going on already for a week.
Yes, that's right. And Gerald and Becky, they were having confusion about those kids over there, and they were back and forth up to Connell's and, you know, trying to settle those four children. Their father has remarried out in California, and he came over here to get them.
Oh.
And
that's
they
the
had,
four
that's
children
the
Feaster, staying with
the Feaster kids, you know, Mr. and Miss Feaster.
Yeah.
They flew up to Washington and spent a week with Becky and Gerald, and all four of them and the baby and the dog and two parrots came back down in the car.
What they want to do, Faye, is to George, the former husband, I mean father, or the father, wanted to get the children back to keep from having to pay.
That's what they say.
Pay anything upkeep.
They've
for
had
the children.
Him in court, you know, here, and so they got the court in California behind him, and
they're pressing him.
So
now.
They're pressing him out there to send money to for the children's support.
Yeah.
So Gerald and all of them figured he just got in the car and came over here to get them to say keep from having to go to jail out there for not sending them support. I said, well, that's kind of crazy because look how much it cost him to come over here. Look how much it cost him to keep them.
Yeah.
And he's married some sort of fat middle-aged woman who has grown
don't
children.
Don't get too much into that because that's
well, I know
we
it,
got
but
enough
anyway,
with our
were,
four children.
They were back and forth about that, and Gerald was over there, folks trying to help him clean up and do this and that and the other and clean out, and so it's just been a mess.
Lord help us. That can just drag on forever.
Yes,
just
it sure can.
Down.
It wears you to a
frazzle. I'm telling you, you're having the summer, aren't you?
Well, I
yeah,
had August week a week in August.
Yeah. Well, so I never had a summer like this. Nothing that I planned on has worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Not a thing?
No, my strong right hand has not even showed up, old Mick.
We just finished.
I had to make hay all by myself.
Well, let me ask you this. How's your health been to do that?
It's not my health. It's my disposition now.
Well,
I ruined my hand.
3 weeks.
I got it in the machinery and ruined my hand. Oh, I've done everything. I broke my toe.
Broke your toe?
Oh, yes. My cows all had pink eye, and now they can't walk. They've got something they never had before. They got, you see, the water's down so low.
Just don't curse God.
Curse anything else?
Just have the patience of Job, I guess.
First it was their eyes, and now it's their hoofs.
They can't walk.
You've had all the afflictions, I guess, of Job.
Nothing has worked out.
But I sure could have got to see Mama Lee and Becky. And
well, we went up to see Becky, and I got this dizziness. I had to hold on, hang on, you know, like this. I had to hold on, and it lasted all till I got back. And we were there a week, and I left and came back a day early. I just couldn't take it any longer. And then, just recently, the last month, I've had the shortness of breath so bad I haven't been able to breathe.
The weather?
Huh?
Well, you have.
Oh, no.
No,
it isn't the weather. I've had it off and on a little bit, but never like this. I went to the doctor
he's
twice.
Been complaining
he gave
about
me tranquilizers.
Yeah.
I didn't do much good. Anyway, it started leaving me about 3 days ago.
It started leaving you in so much confusion was there that you didn't have time to think.
No, no, what it was, what it was, I found that I had to do something myself about relaxation. He gave me tranquilizer to relax, but they didn't relax me if I was jumping up and down, you know. So I figured there's one thing, he wanted me to go to the medical center for examination, where you lie there for a week and they bring in a crew of interns and ask you all sorts of questions. And
oh, them interns, I don't think I could stand it.
Couldn't either. So I just,
you'd have to be in good health in order to stand the intern.
That's right. I had a Peter Bent Brigham in Boston when I went there once when I was a student. Now I'm just flopping.
Well, Bob, you just look fine.
Yeah.
Well, he's been complaining for about 3 weeks about this other
thing. I had
thing.
So
he
bad
just
I
get,
just couldn't.
He couldn't get in a car. If he sat in a car, he complained. The only time he didn't complain was when he was lying down flat.
I'm sleeping at night.
Yeah.
I rested, relaxed. I got to thinking about it, working with it in my own mind, and so I finally just sort of relaxed, like I just kind of flopped.
Just collapsed.
Just flopped and
uh-huh.
relaxed.
Uh-huh.
And that's done no good in
the
anything.
Kids have started back
I quit
already?
The
Linda
pills.
And Judy have already started back to work for the fall.
What'd you say?
I said Linda and Judy have started back to work for the fall and Nancy starts back tomorrow. I can't believe that the summer's gone.
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone.
And Becky and Gerald won't get a raise. He'd be lucky to keep his job, I guess, with all this going on. New
the
recruit.
President's fixed us all up so we can't get no raises.
Yeah. You know, I ought to be able to get a raise, though, for this reason only. That I'm in my retirement 5 years, you know.
You're a hardship case.
Yeah, and if I don't get it now, you see why, then I the rest of my life, why? Of course, if things don't go up anymore the rest of my life, why? If sugar remains so much a pound, same thing it did now, won't make a difference. But if they do go up, why, then I'd give a pinch. It doesn't worry me, though.
I think Marilyn is the one that shows it.
Hey,
she looks sort of
angry. I'm the one that's had the...
See, I never saw Marilyn.
Well,
you look like you sort of... You got a bad eye?
No. Not any worse than usual. I've been thinking for 3 years I was going to get my eyes... You know, tested and get new glasses and haven't gotten there yet.
Just haven't got time.
No.
Every time I come around here, mine lie right there on that table.
Judy got something in her eye
yeah.
a whole couple weeks ago when she called me frantic. She had put some stuff in the john to make it, she's in that apartment, you know, and had stopped up overflowing. So the man gave her some of this poison stuff put in it and it splashed up in her eye. So she called me. What
you told Faye about that?
Did I tell you about that?
Yeah.
She called Van Arnum.
Yeah, you told Faye about that.
That was the funniest thing. I said you could try it, and you can't get one with him for 6 months. You know.
Yeah.
Tell
oh,
God,
shut
he
up!
No, he didn't hear. Oh. Well,
I said I've got no business telling such things over again.
No, I just thought maybe
you'd
be bored with
it.
I thought maybe you'd be bored because you told it for.
But anyway, Judy called me and said, could you call Van Arnum? And it was a Saturday, and I said, well, it's no use to call him. I think it was Saturday afternoon, Sunday.
Yeah.
And I said, you couldn't get him in 1,000 years anyhow. I said, call Dr. Perry. I'll go over to the drugstore and take the stuff and ask the druggist to tell you what to do about it. So she called back in about 15 minutes. She said, well, said I talked to Dr. Van Arnum. I said, how'd you get him? He said, well, I just called his office and he was there. And said, he said if I had any trouble to come on down, he told me what to do. You get in order to see that man, you've got to have your eye practically put out.
Yeah.
You can't see him if you don't have a
That's
big
right.
emergency.
That's right.
She saw him in 15 years.
What did?
That's right. I've done that. You see, they was our neighbors over there.
Yeah.
And I've gone in at 5:15 or 9:00 in the morning, you know, many times.
An emergency, and he'll take you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Well,
he took
nice
Linda, you know,
if
one time on
emergency.
Sunday when she was worried about something, and I went up there on Sunday and just wasted the most time looking around.
Well, you know, the second time I had that attachment, I had that on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't say anything about it.
That's the truth, that nut, didn't
I just, and that was dangerous, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just swore the band I wasn't going up there and fiddle around the whole weekend. See, he'd have spent all that time up there. So I waited money on it.
That's right.
That was foolish.
That really
was. It was crazy. But you do things like that, Kate.
How much rain have you had out here? How many inches?
We got 4 inches.
Did it do you any damage or good?
Oh, it just rained. We haven't, it hadn't rained out here all summer. Just a little.
No, we haven't had much either.
We didn't have it either for such a long time.
It rained out here about a half a quarter of
an hour. Well, that's right. Our lake was low too. Way down. Yeah. So it's up now.
Well, now, you see, you look out here and you think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, it rains just enough to keep the grass growing.
Yeah.
It don't take much to keep the grass
growing. Well, we now.
See, we haven't had a rain where the ground would get wet, you see, yeah, all summer. And that's what caused the trouble, isn't it? And the spring was dry, you know.
Yeah, yes, it was.
So that's what's wrong with that water hole.
The cows have to walk out so far in this muck to get water.
Oh.
But I never dreamed of such a summer like this. Never.
No, it's been a struggle. Just a struggle.
Well, it hasn't been. That breathing got me. Now, I could stand the dizziness where I couldn't stand up, but when I couldn't breathe, and I always just sort of. You know what shortness of breath is? You can't.
Oh, yes.
You get it up here, and you keep trying and trying, and then finally get it.
Yeah.
And then you I still have a little of it, and then you keep, and then you just have to try to get a long breath. You can't get it.
Well, you worked all summer.
Yeah.
He's still working.
Still working. Got this is my last week. Next week exam.
And you had to run in on all that hard work.
Well, that part. Didn't bother me. This in the summer is much nicer for me to teach,
yeah,
than it is in the fall. That is horrible, the fall.
Yeah.
It's a rat race over there,
oh,
in the fall.
Yeah.
It's going to start again
soon.
It's going
to start soon. What is about, oh?
About 3-4 weeks, isn't it?
About the middle of 20th
maybe
of September,
about a month.
Something like that.
Yeah.
What do you think about
now,
that?
What was it, Fred? What was it? This. Just now, you had all your children?
Oh, yeah.
All my children and all their husbands. And Linda and Phil came up Saturday morning. Linda came in the bus. They got a VW bus.
Oh.
And she went by and picked Mother Lee up and brought her up. What time did you get here? About noon?
Oh,
that was Saturday.
This past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
She came up and had her birthday and spent the night and went back Sunday with Linda.
But that wasn't easy.
That was awful. When she got back, she was just worn to a frazzle. Right in a
VW
bus is kind of.
Yeah.
She lay down in the bus, she said, from they went back to Tampa. Phil had to work until about 4 o'clock. And in the meantime, Judy had arranged for Woody to come out and make a family portrait. And nobody wanted to be in the family portrait, and we had all sorts of screaming and hollering, and I could have killed her, and she was so stubborn
and
about it.
And we had to wear ties and
she
coats.
Would not put up with it. She was going to have that damn picture made.
Mother Lee.
With everybody and Mother Lee.
Yeah.
And I said, call Woody and tell him then I will be here. Don't come. And she wouldn't do that. So finally he came out. Phil came in while he was making a picture of Becky and Gerald and the baby. They said they'd get one shot. If they could get a good one. And while he was making that, Phil came in from Tampa. So he was in. Everybody was there.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be proud of that.
But I could have killed Judy. I was so mad at her because she wouldn't call it off, you know, and had all that going on and all the other besides. Oh, it was awful.
You know, let me tell you, Marilyn, I know, I guess. Remember now, taking pictures is a tedious thing. I just dread it.
I don't mind people taking pictures because I don't want to take them, but what bothers me is that Becky and Gerald, every time you were sitting down, they're making your picture, and I get so tired of it, I don't know what to do. I was holding the baby at the table this morning while they were getting something, and here was Gerald with his camera. I said, you know, you just get worn out with that sort of thing.
It costs lots of money for them.
All these slides. I said, who in the heck? He said, well, we don't show them very often. Nobody wants to see them. I said, well, that's all right.
I'd like to see some of them.
Oh, Lord.
Have you been there today?
Yeah. Well, they left yesterday.
Have you been there since we got up our drapes? I guess you have.
Oh, they got packed up. Gerald didn't get the stuff packed in the car until about 11:30 yesterday morning. I was waiting around till they left to go to work, and it was raining cats and dogs, you know. So I went on to work about 11:45, and about 12:30 or 12:45, I went out to the bank, and I thought, well, I'll run on out and see how Bob's doing. He's out there by himself. Drove up in the yard out there, and there was Becky and Gerald's car. They decided they wouldn't go. It was so bad and rainy yesterday, and the tornado warnings and all that, so... They stayed over last night and left.
And they have gone right through it, too, driven up through it.
No, I think they're
stop in Columbia.
They're going to stay in Columbia
tonight. So we'll find out. We'll call them
out tomorrow. Catherine's, and then they're going to finish up tomorrow.
Well, it's up in North Carolina.
Yeah,
well, they were going farther in South Carolina tonight, Columbia.
Yeah.
Spend the night.
So they ought to miss
it. So they may be behind it. I hope so.
And some of it got up to 8 inches, I think.
Yeah, that's right,
in
Charleston.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of water.
Oh, Lord, yes.
The most water I ever saw was 9 inches. That was here in one of those hurricanes.
They said the Cedar Key just got torn up yesterday.
I don't know whether you're going to teach in at 131 or not, but we're going to have two new books in there, including another. Always new stuff.
You know. How's the family say?
But the same general plan?
Yeah, that we've had before, you know, cover this material, and then it's up to you. You can work it out any way you want.
What are the new books?
I can't remember. I went up and got two of them. But they are, one is on the language, first four chapters of this book on language. See, we've taught miracle language, now we've got some other book on language. And then the other is a novel, I think. A novel and the book on language. And I haven't made notes or read them, anything. I just got them about 2-3 days before, and we had all this confusion. We had four dogs at one time. Nash's two, and Turnip, that big dog, and then our dog. And two parrots. And the parrots had to take them in and put them on the porch. We had to keep dogs in separate rooms because they'd
fight.
Oh, that's what it was.
We had to keep the dogs in separate rooms. Nancy had two, and one wasn't housebroken, and that
she kept those on the porch
on
for
the
about
porch.
A week,
and let those housebroken, two of them come on the carpet. Well, they thought they could get by with murder, you know, there because the two of them we wouldn't know which one to blame, and so they. So I finally had to keep them all on the porch, and then when Turnip would meet Omar, why, he would grab him by the neck, you know, and...
We thought he was killing him one night.
And then
when
Turnip met
Truman,
Becky's dog,
Linda's
dog, why, they had a fight. And then we just had to keep them separate.
And then the parrots would fly away.
We'd
have to go after them.
We'd bring Turnip, Becky's dog, the big dog, in through the back side, right, directly, and I would stand there like a guard and direct him right into Becky's room, you know. He had to spend the night in her room.
Close the door.
And then one time I think we kept our dog, Omar, up in our room and then put the other two dogs on the porch, Nancy's two dogs on the porch with the parrots or something like that. And then, of course, they had all this time we had our little precious baby there. The little grandbaby, you know.
That's
your baby.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
She's really a good baby, though. She didn't squall very often. She's very... A couple of times she got real tired and she fussed. But she eats like a little pig.
No, she's about 6 months old.
6 months, yeah.
She's just sitting up. She doesn't sit up by herself. She's just getting ready to sit up. She is a character. Looks just like Miss Feaster.
Yes, she does.
Oh, really?
She looks just like
and well, you know, Gladys is one of my favorites.
Well, she has a perfect disposition,
if
you know.
If she has Gladys, that's right.
If she's
that's
got a
right.
disposition, that's fine.
That'll be fine.
So nothing disturbs her.
Seemingly.
Well, how did and they went to Washington.
Today.
They went on the plane.
Oh, yeah, they went on the plane.
Miss Feaster went on the plane to Washington. They never had been on a plane before. And they had the trip of their lives. And they spent a week up there. She has a sister in Frederick, Maryland. And her sister and her sister's husband, they went over and had dinner with them. And they stayed a couple of days over there. And then they came back with Vicki and Gerald.
I don't know who Gladys was.
Her name was Abraham.
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 Where is she now?
I know. Becky's been getting the baby lineage. You know, this side and this side and this side. And she was Gladys Abraham.
From where?
You know,
you told
I
me,
just don't
Marcia,
know where
didn't you
they
tell
came
me,
from.
Didn't you tell me from...
They lived in St. Petersburg at one time, she said.
Yeah.
She and her sister. I don't know where they came from up there in Maryland or not, originally. I just don't know.
Yeah, but not around here anyway.
I don't know. They lived in Micanopy. That's where she met Mr. Feaster.
Well, yeah.
They lived in Micanopy at one time.
Yeah.
But I just don't remember.
I had a price for relaxation.
No,
I just, let me sit back and flop now.
Yeah, do that.
I get excited.
Use that chair you got there. You won't relax more than that.
Your dog, you
to,
wouldn't
to
let him out now.
Yeah.
He's sitting in the car waiting on
what
you.
What happened to
just have to put up with it because I get excited.
Yeah, what you excited about?
Where did the parrots run off to?
Well, you just leave them out in the yard. Gerald fixed this little pole with a perch on it.
Yeah.
Out there on the palm tree. And you leave them out there all day. And if the sun would hit them, they'd get tired of that. So they crawl down the pole and go off.
Yeah.
And once or twice.
Twice.
Twice one of them went off, and one time we found them way up in the palm tree.
You have to search
over
and
there.
Call.
You just have to call
have to
and
talk
call
to
and
Spanish.
Find them. Talk to them, and then they'll answer you, and then you find out where he is, because you can't see him to save your neck.
Yeah. You have to speak to
them. And
so,
then they have to get a pole and get them down, you know. We put them on a cage in a cage at night on the porch, but during the day they sat outside all the time.
Yeah.
And so Sunday afternoon, I guess it was, we went around searching everywhere we found one of the parrots because I saw where he stopped. And then we searched for the other. What was his name? Paula?
Paula is the one that runs
and we went
off.
Around calling Paula all over the place, premises, everywhere, back and forth, Paula.
Yeah.
And we no sooner found him on the fishing pole, got him down and so forth, and got him back in the cage, and then this terrific dog fight.
I need a tranquilizer too.
Man, I just needed something.
But let me tell you know, noise like that never bothered me. When you have somebody around that, you know, like Gerald and them, who are sort of regulated.
Take care of the matter.
Yes, halfway. I don't mind doing a little of it, but not all of it.
Well, 2 weeks or so of this dog business, plus Beck is excitable as I am, you know.
Oh, she really peppery, isn't she?
And Gerald is, nothing makes any difference.
Yeah.
If there's ever an existentialist in that respect, he is
yeah.
nothing.
He just lets it all go.
Yes, sir.
Becky wanted, for instance, wanted to take that little cradle back. I think it's a family affair, you know, that he was.
The baby's outgrown it almost, but he wanted to take it back. It's an heirloom.
Along with the dog and the two parrots. And he goes in for an audit. They had an old milk can there.
You
want to tell about that high?
Like that?
You know those old milk cans about that high?
Yeah.
Big around neck.
And
so he had to take that back.
That he had gotten out of the barn over there somewhere. Great Lord, I'm glad he went back.
And she said, one of these days she's going to travel without one thing.
Well, he didn't want
to
take this crib down, and there's no place for it, and the dog had no room. And I said, why don't you dismantle it, Gerald? And, oh, he wouldn't do that. And I looked at it, and I said, well, there are only four screws. Well, take out. So then he consented, so we took it down to the base where I have my little shop, you know. And now he's a good workman. He knows how to do things.
Oh, does he?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah, he knows
how. So he
how
took my hacksaw, and the thing was covered with paint. And he cut into the screws so they wouldn't be burred. That's the word. And like my finger with the string, you know.
Oh.
Just right.
Oh.
The four screws.
Yeah.
He took those out, and he numbered each place where they're supposed to go. The slats and everything.
Yeah.
Just as systematic.
Yeah.
Now, I would have known to take a hacksaw and deepen those things so I could get a screw in there. You know,
yeah.
It's filled with paint.
Yeah.
And, he's really excellent.
It paid
from
the
standpoint
to come back because they were really
doing
a
things.
Mess trying
he can
to
do things.
Leave yesterday,
yeah.
And then they got that all
taken
care of. And today they had plenty of room.
Doesn't want to bother them, but he's capable of doing it. Doing good
well,
work.
You know, helpful if
work.
You take a little pain like that, it sure will save you.
It's just a little small package like that, not so long.
Here was his cradle. It was almost as big as his bed, I guess.
Table.
You know, with the rockers on it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And they didn't have room for anything. Gerald, they're just four screws. Let's take them out.
Yeah.
He didn't want. He used to have to try to force it into his new car.
You know, these little light two-wheel trailers are awful nice.
That's
you
right.
Can put so much, it empties, you know, you don't have to sit on
that's
so
right.
Much.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's a mess trying to take a
well,
long trip with furniture and all kinds of stuff falling over on you.
And Gerald's fault, yeah.
And your lunch or your coffee mug.
And then with the baby, you have to take diapers and you have to take bottles and you have to take on.
You know, when
I never used the top of the car. That might work, but I just never did that.
When our children were small, Marilana didn't know one thing, one point, you know. She, or at least she knew one point that I didn't know. She knew that one point that I didn't know, that the sides of the car were flexible and would stretch out.
Whatever you want to put in it.
You could put in as much as you want. It always give a little bit more. I didn't believe that. At the time.
You know, and Bob would pack the car and then you'd stall it out. Let's put this in. Well, no room for it. Well, put it in now. That's what Gerald was doing yesterday. He was just carting stuff out and he arranged it. And all that rain, he arranged it. He gave it all
soaking
the
wet.
One more thing had to go and take it all out and again, it was just awful. Watching him was awful.
You
get up.
Let me ask you one thing, first. I think I sold some hay to one of you.
I have to go home. I haven't had a chance to wash my hay in over a week.
You never cared for.
Ashmore?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I guess you did, because he has horses out there.
He has a whole
lot
of horses.
He sure does. He's moved them all from behind us, so thank you. He got them across the road.
Got them across the road. Well, now, what was that movement? How come that?
You know,
Nick Hosen, that used to run the University Inn, owns that place over there. He bought that New Master, you know, that hill where the old New Master home used to be, Chamberlain home?
Where it burned.
And it burned down. And I don't know whether he ever got the insurance straight on it or not, but anyway, he was going to build a fine house there.
Yeah.
And he never got around to it. So Ashmore is using it, as I understand. He told him he could use it until he did something with it.
Yeah.
Now he's got a trailer there, and I think he's got it full of hippies.
Yeah.
I think hippies live in
that
trailer. Yes, I've seen them. They've got a little Volkswagen and beds, and I see them turning in there. I know they must live up there. Somebody lives there. But he brings his horses. He'll take one or two of them and bring them over and put them back, you know, switch them back and forth. He keeps one or two over occasionally.
He still has his headquarters over at you.
Yeah, that's his house.
Well,
that's where he lives.
That's where he lives.
Yeah, he lives there, and then this Betty lives there in one of the trails. There are two of them back there behind the Landsman's, you know.
Yeah.
It's a mixed up family. We
it's
don't know which one is
up,
wife
yeah.
of which one. Or, well, it is a wife.
Well,
yeah.
Betty
it's
Belcher
a
has
family.
A husband who is an invalid. He is he was hurt in the Second World War, I think, or something, and she gets money from him. And she lives in this trailer. She's got this little tiny boy, which I think is Ashmore. I'm sure he is. And she's got a grown daughter who's gotten married. But the first Ms. Ashmore took this grown daughter and carried her over to Madison and took her over there and sent her to college. And in the meantime, Ashmore and another cousin of his, or somebody that carries a newspaper, lives in that other trailer. It's the one that goes this way, and Betty's is this way, from out there by our road. And they're all crazy as loons.
You still
just
have
nutty.
Some work out to have your cows. Is that right?
Yeah.
We don't keep
5 minutes. All I got. When he came out here, it was right touching. I was out
he
there.
He came out here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He bought a load of hay.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have anything, and
mm-hmm.
they couldn't buy hay. And I had to cut this old stuff. It wasn't really hay; it was just fodder. But it's better than he had. And, you know, he came out here with a man one time, but then he came back the next time. We was all working out there, and I was worked down. I was just hot, and everybody else out there the same way. And then he came with a clean shirt on and a little boy
mm-hmm.
by his hand, just walking on out there. They're going, he's showing him around or something like that. And I saved me. I didn't have the energy to, all I could hardly do was just speak to him. Keep it going. You know how you get when you're hot.
Yeah.
And he stayed a little while, and he walked off. And I didn't they have a dog? Didn't they have dogs? And you
they had the dogs that
you
could
call
so much.
Yeah. They used to eat yours up.
Yeah.
Well, he's got one dog now. I think only one shepherd that he keeps fenced in and never lets him out.
What was that? What was it he had that devoured your dog?
Well, he used to have a pack of them.
Oh.
He had a pack of them. He had one female dog that kept, I don't know how many litters of those things they had, and they didn't get rid of them, you know. They just keep the pack.
Oh.
And there must have been
kill
five
cows.
Or six of them up at times, and they'd run like wolves.
Yeah, out on the country.
Yeah, he'd turn them out at night. He wasn't supposed to turn them out, but he'd turn them loose at night.
They kill cows.
Yeah, they kill
cows
and everything around.
Cows,
oh, they were awful.
Yeah.
So finally,
I got to put my hair, clothes, and dishes.
That's channel one, right around 6:25 to 50 this Tuesday night, the 17th of August, 1971. This surprise visit, Bob and Marilyna. They haven't been here in a month or so, hardly all summer. Channel one, right, and the around 625 or 40 or 50 this Tuesday night, the 17th of August, 1971. This prize visit, Marilyna and Bob, reporting on all their family at home in August.